As we often say, one conversation leads to another. And this morning, we're continuing to look at the implications of same-sex marriage. Last week, when we spoke with an attorney who speaks on behalf of the coalition opposing the bill being debated in the special legislative session, we talked about the issue of commerce. The essential question was, could a business person be compelled to do business with someone whose beliefs were in deep opposition? We called law professor and Matsunaga Institute director Carol Peterson, and she joins us now. Thanks for coming in, and welcome back home. You've been traveling a lot.
That's right. I'm on sabbatical this semester, so I've been traveling in Asia on research projects most of the semester.
Thanks for traveling into our studio to talk about this a little this morning.
Thank you.
This is a very thorny issue.
It is.
Because it's not cut and dried. There is public accommodation that says, yes, you have to do business with someone regardless of belief, to a point, but there is this quasi area that we're looking at now as it applies to this and potentially other things too that go into the sort of conscientious objector side of the question. If you have someone who has a deeply held fundamental religious belief that says what you're doing is wrong, I don't want to be involved in business with you. If they're involved in a marriage ceremony, say, as in the example that we used last week, a baker or a florist or a wedding planner who says, you know, I just can't do it.
Well, I think we have to be clear about what we're discussing. First of all, I would never support an exemption that would allow a person to say, I don't want to be involved in doing business with you because I don't approve of your behavior. That would be a huge step backward in our laws that prohibit discrimination. However, the First Amendment does protect religious freedom. It gives absolute freedom for religious beliefs. You can limit conduct, of course, even if it's religiously motivated. And I do think that there is room in this debate to draft a narrowly tailored provision in the bill that would give not only clergy, but individuals an opportunity to apply for an exemption from what might otherwise be a legal duty to participate in or facilitate a marriage ceremony. And that's what I mean about narrowly tailored. Okay. I am not suggesting that there be any clawback of the public accommodations law generally. And in that sense, I strongly support the testimony of the Hawaii Civil Rights Commission.
Okay, can I stop you right there? Because there are two words I think we need to focus on, the word apply mm-hmm. and the word facilitate, because we're not talking about somebody who is officiating. We're talking about somebody who is facilitating this wedding. And that could be a party planner. That could be someone who bakes a cake, a baker. That could be anybody who would be involved in this wedding, right?
Potentially, correct. And I'm not suggesting that an exemption be drafted that simply state anyone who has a religious objection has a right not to participate.
No, that's the apply part.
Yeah. I actually think that the analogy is vaccines in the schools. And I know that may sound silly, but if you think about it, there's a strong public policy in favor of vaccinating children against certain diseases. We do, however, despite that strong public policy, we do allow parents to apply for an exemption if they can show that they have a bona fide, strongly held religious belief that prevents them from presenting their children for vaccinations. So the burden is on the person to apply and show that they have the strongly held belief. If we were to create this procedure for people, I would suggest that it be a temporary provision or that it have a sunshine clause so that the legislature would have an opportunity to assess it after a period of time, because we certainly would not want to create a provision or even an application procedure that allows people to place an undue burden on the right of same-sex couples to be married and celebrate their weddings. I anticipate that very few people would apply for such an exemption, very few people who are involved in the business of putting on marriage ceremonies, because in general, most people are going to be thrilled that there's an expanded market, and they're going to be very happy to provide services and create joyful, beautiful wedding ceremonies. So I think that this would be utilized rarely, but I do think that it would help to answer some of the concerns that I'm hearing when I listen to the testimony. of course, not all religious groups object to this bill. Many religious groups have said they support the bill.
Right. We've talked to several of them on the show about mm-hmm. that. But to be able to create a place where people who do feel that they can't participate in the facilitation of this wedding, and to do it in a way that allows them to keep their conscience and also do what they feel they need to do business-wise, is what you're suggesting, that there is room for a somewhat of a middle ground discussion that we're not having, really.
Precisely. Because we have to remember, it's possible that this bill will be passed and implemented quite quickly. And
November,
right? And I can imagine if someone is involved in putting on wedding ceremonies or in regularly providing flowers for wedding ceremonies, but that person happens to be a devout Catholic and is being told by their priest that it's a sin to facilitate gay marriage. I don't know if anyone's actually telling anyone that, but if they are, I can imagine that person would be in a very difficult position right now. So, as I said, I don't think it's going to be a large number of people who would apply, but I think that we could reassure people by creating the procedure and allowing them to apply. And as I said, perhaps make it a temporary or a sunshine clause so that it can be reassessed to ensure that it does not create an undue burden or an undue hardship on people who want to celebrate their marriage.
When we talked with Jim Hochberg last week, and he was saying, you know, that there are cases all over the place of people going in trying to test this by walking into a place of business, knowing that that person is not going to want to do business with them because they're gay and they don't want to be involved with it. And his, you know, he said that his fear was that this might happen here too. And you're saying, well, you think maybe this is more rare. Are we really needing to get a more realistic handle on how much this really is important in the discussion, or is this discussion being used to in some ways just obfuscate, you know, other discussions that are more pertinent?
I have read news stories of some of these cases. I think that they are rare. In general, if I want to celebrate my wedding, I want people around me who support my wedding, right? I mean, over 20 years ago, my husband and I had an interfaith wedding. We certainly wouldn't go and ask someone deliberately to provide flowers if we knew that they were going to object to our interfaith wedding.
Or even finding somebody to officiate at that point.
Exactly.
Is tough too.
The rabbi initially said no, and we knew he was within his rights. But the fact is, even if the cases are rare, I don't see the harm in sitting down right now and negotiating some sort of narrowly tailored procedure to allow individuals who are genuine religious objectors to apply for an exemption.
Right. Better now than later, because there would be some who would make the argument that, you know, the train is a-coming. And you are either going to get on board and start to discuss policy and the how and the why of where it's going to go now, or you're going to just have to jump on board with whatever happens down the line.
Absolutely. And I think that everyone knows this. The change in public opinion across the United States has been dramatic. Same-sex marriage is coming. It's definitely coming. If it doesn't come legislatively, it will probably come through court decisions, because I also think if you read the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, the Loving case, the Windsor case, the Lawrence case, you can see a growing recognition that to right to marry the person you love is a fundamental civil right. So it is coming. So now is the time for those who object on religious grounds to sit down with legislators and members of the marriage equality movement and negotiate a procedure.
Well, we're glad you were able to sit down with us this morning. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Professor Carol Peterson teaches at the William S. Richardson School of Law and is the director of the Spark Matsunaga Institute for Peace and Conflict Resolution. She specializes in legal issues involving gender, human rights, and the right to equality in international and domestic law, and the use of mediation to resolve complaints of discrimination.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jared Kuroiwa from Oceanic. You're listening to The Conversation on HPR, Hawaii Public Radio. Join the conversation on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation.